Okay, so I need to open this week's Intuit with a correction, everyone. At the end of last week, you might remember that we closed with a quiz about the Oscars, in which we all learned a thing or two. We learned several mistruths about how many Academy Award nominations several celebrities had received. And we also learned an important lesson about not throwing a quiz together 10 minutes before the beginning of a podcast recording, using only Wikipedia as your source. Anyway, hiya, welcome to Intuit. I'm Daniel Welsh. As usual, I'm here with Rachel McGraw, and today we have a very special guest with Francesca Thuritz here with us. You all right, mate?
Hello, guys. How's it going?
It's grand. It's lovely to have you here in Ash's presence. The poor lad is currently bedridden. At last I saw of him was on Instagram, lying in bed eating chocolate hobnobs, the poor thing.
So,
we're wishing him the best anyway, wishing him a speedy recovery.
We miss him.
Anyway, let's crack on, shall we? The first thing I want to talk about this week is the SAG Awards, which happened over the weekend. The SAG Awards, or as I like to call them, not the Oscars. Not the Oscars, not the Golden Globes, the other ones.
The second ones in between.
Exactly, yeah, the sort of the seat filler awards ceremony. A lot of celebrities at the SAG Awards used the opportunity to voice their political statements and, you know, speak out about things that they felt strongly about. So people like Denzel Washington and Dev Patel, Ashton Kutcher, Sarah Paulson, one of my faves. All these really cool people got up and made their voices heard about various issues relating to the current political climate. But Rachel, do you think that an award show is really the appropriate place for this sort of shenanigans?
It's not so much whether I think it's the appropriate place or not. So I just think that when you win an award, you get kind of 3 minutes on stage and you get to talk about something that's important to you. And it just so happens that the thing that's most important to everyone at the moment is Donald Trump.
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of, you know, yeah, awards shows are places for like fun and just jokes and good times. But also, if needs must, they're going to use that stage for something else.
Exactly. They've got, what is it, a minute and a half to do whatever they want with that speech. So why shouldn't they talk about the things that really matter to them? Piers Morgan, of course, Cy felt around the world, has accused the celebrities of trying to be new Martin Luther Kings. And it's been reported that the BAFTAs are trying to stop people from using political statements. Francesca, do you think that that's right? Do you think that the BAFTAs should be clamping down on people being political? Or do you reckon that it's people's right to say what they want?
Hell no. Say what you want. I completely agree with Rachel. I mean, the difference for me is we shouldn't be in this culture where they feel compelled to say something really deep and meaningful and get an emotive response. But if they feel that way inclined, that they want to say something that actually they really give a shit about and they want to use that opportunity as this big platform to tell everybody, then I think they should go for it. They shouldn't stop it.
Yeah, I think that's what you've just said is totally right. Like, nobody should feel compelled. So there were a few people. Rachel, you wrote a piece on it. Do you think there were more people who didn't speak out than did speak out?
Yeah, so I did like a sort of listicle rounding up everybody.
You can read it now on the Huffington Post UK, by the way.
You can indeed.
Read all about it.
And I had a total of 16 people who had spoken out, and I'm sure that I missed some. And I think that off the top of my head, Viola Davis chose not to. Fine, her decision. That doesn't make her speech any lesser. But honestly, off the top of my head, I can't name any others. But, you know, Piers Morgan's a fine one anyway. He uses his breakfast show to push his political agenda every morning.
Oh.
He can't complain about people choosing their moment in the spotlight at the BAFTAs to do it.
Well, what do you think about people who say that these people are actors and they're not politicians? They're not, they're not really public figures. They're just people who act in films. And so maybe it's not really their place to be commenting on politics anyway.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are they not allowed opinion just because they're paid to be acting?
Well,
no,
that's it, isn't it?
It's ridiculous.
You know, we're here every week voicing our opinions. And, you know, that's, you know, we're as entitled as anybody else is.
Well, it's like you're allowed to be smart. You're allowed to care about more than one thing. It's also this kind of idea that you can, you know, if you care about, like, Black Lives Matter, you can't care about, like, fun pop culture or just different things like that.
Well, it's the same as a celebrity dying and people are saying, oh, you can't care about that and famine.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I have two opinions about, you know, these things aren't related.
Like, if I can watch, like, La La Land and enjoy it as a film and also care about Trump, Ryan Gosling or Emma Stone can be in it and also care about Trump. It's just really outdated to think that.
I mean, the thing is as well, award shows, they're awarding people for just, you know, getting dressed up and having a laugh on set. Like, you know, these people aren't like life. I mean, no disrespect to actors, but they're not, you know, lifesavers or anything. So, you know, why shouldn't they get up there? And if they feel I've been given this gold statue just for, you know, spending 6 weeks on set with Ryan Gosling, which most people would give their right arm to do, then yeah, I'm going to get up there and I'm going to say what I really feel.
And look, there's an audience there as well. People are watching them. People are going to listen to what their acceptance speeches are. So use it for what you want to.
Yeah, that's it. You know, if I felt that people were, you know, if I was in an auditorium full of people and I knew millions were watching, would I want to go up there and thank 24 people that nobody had heard of because they were my agent and my manager and my manager's assistant and my next door neighbour from when I was a kid? Or do I want to actually say something that really matters?
Yeah, the thing that's definitely going to guarantee more of them, I think, as well, is obviously after Meryl Streep did it at the Golden Globes, Donald Trump tweeted and let everybody know in his usual eloquent way that he'd seen her speech and he let everybody know what he thought of it. And I just think you've just proven to everybody that you're listening. Like, if you're just going to guarantee more and more of the same.
Exactly, because they've got a reaction. If it had gone into a vacuum and disappeared, then maybe people would feel that it wasn't meaningful and there wasn't any point to it. But what you've just said is exactly right. Like, Donald Trump is reacting. He's the one they're protesting against. And so if he's going to react, then yeah. I'm excited anyway to see what happens at the Oscars in a few weeks, because that's obviously the biggie and that's where the big names are. And so if somebody like Viola Davis gets up and finally gets the Oscar that she, you know, a lot of people have been waiting for her to get, I'm excited to see whether those lot speak up. On a lighter note, let's chat EastEnders. moving drastically across the entertainment spectrum.
Proof that you can care about different things.
That's exactly it, yeah. So let's chat about EastEnders. So it was in the papers this week that Tanya Branning is apparently coming back, Joe Joyner returning to Albert Square. Last time we saw her was it EastEnders Live Week?
It was EastEnders Live Week, yep. She made a brief appearance with one iconic line.
It was brief, but it was memorable. Oh. when she cocked up and said, "Where's Adam?
How's Adam?"
It was, and no one picked Adam? Up on it at all, did they?
No, it was literally the most talked about thing about Live Week. Apart from, was that the same year that Max Branning was vomiting? Was
that that was the last Live Week.
Oh, okay, well, so it was the new Max Branning
getting
vomiting.
Your Live Week's muddled.
I know, God. Sorry about that, Joe Joyner, if you're listening. How is Adam, by the way? So Joe Joyner apparently returning to EastEnders, which has come at the same time that Helen Flanagan is coming back to Coronation Street as Rosie Webster after, what is it, 3-4 years that she's been gone?
Yeah, she went in 2012, so quite a while.
Nice, soap expert, keep me in check. So what I want to ask about is Tanya Branning coming back. Obviously, a lot of soap fans are excited, but also some people are kind of feeling like, is this producers running out of ideas and just going, right, who can we bring back? We'll pick Tanya Branning because people liked her. So, Francesca, what do you reckon? You watch EastEnders, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that if it's done well with purpose and there's an actual storyline where it makes sense, then absolutely. And I think just the nostalgia aspect of it gets fans really excited because everyone loves Tanya and they want to see her back. But if it's like scraping the barrel, we need some new stuff here, well, they liked her, let's put her back, then I just think it's such a waste and it's dull. Mm.
So I don't watch EastEnders, and so I don't know who Tanya Branning is, apart from the Live Week thing. Is she a big character?
She's great. Like, her and Max as well were just absolutely brilliant. So you've kind of got Max's comeback on this kind of revenge spree. You know, Lauren's back as well with the kid that she had with the Beale, who's not her boyfriend now. Bit complicated.
That is a bit complicated.
I think that there's definitely the space for Tanya, but it's like Francesca said, she needs to have a really good storyline and a reason to be there. Because especially in EastEnders, I think the past year, it's fair to say that they've had people back and maybe they haven't had that sort of purpose there. We saw kind of Daniela Westbrook reprise her role very briefly for Peggy's send-off, and she just dropped off a kid. But apart from that, she didn't really bring anything to the table.
Listen, anything that puts Daniela Westbrook back on the telly, I'm in favour of. Anytime she's on, my little face lights up. We were talking about Live Week as well. That was when Gillian Tailforth came back as
Kathy Beale,
thank you. And she came back and that was like the big moment. And then after that, she kind of fizzled away. And is she still there? Is she still kicking about?
She's still there, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's exactly it. Like, you know, she was a massive, iconic character from back in the day. And they kind of brought her back and it was sort of a whimper, not a bang. So I think with bringing soap characters back, you do have to be careful. Who would you most like to see back? I mean, mine is immediately going to be, Barbara Windsor back from the dead.
Back from the
Back
Dead.
From the
That's
dead.
Not unheard of. That's Let's do it.
Well, I think a full-on Michael Jackson Thriller-esque number.
Yeah.
Where she comes back with a host of former EastEnders dead people behind her.
That could be a whole spin-off show, you know.
I think
Beyond
so.
The Grave EastEnders.
Walking the Albert Square Dead. The Walking Albert Square Dead. Can't even say it.
Well, they brought Pat back from the dead, didn't they, to say goodbye to Peggy.
Oh,
and
my
that
God,
was
yes.
That's the sort of purpose people need to have, I think.
Who would you want to see back?
This is really boring. Peter Bill.
That's not boring because I know who he is. And again, anything that's going to put him on my screen, I'm not going to.
Make that little face happy.
I'm not going to protest. I didn't sit through 3 hours of X-Men or however long that was. About 3 days of X-Men for about 5 minutes of him for him not to come back to EastEnders.
Yeah, him with Lauren just made me so happy. And then if you had Tanya as well, you know, maybe she'll just like dig a grave for Max again. Who knows?
That
best scene ever. I want that back.
Rachel, who do you want?
Oh, this is because I really want Tanya back. Like, if I could pick one right this minute, it would be Tanya.
And is she coming back, by the way?
Well,
what are the rumours?
So, there was this episode of EastEnders this week where there was a very big conversation and Lauren made this quite big show of saying that she missed her mum. And it was kind of just shoved in the middle of the episode. So people obviously asked questions. And then someone tweeted Jo Joyner, the actress, with the story.
And did they say, how's Adam?
They didn't actually, which is disgusting. But the story did say, Tanya, how's Adam Banning? I don't know which website wrote that. Really interesting. And she tweeted saying that she couldn't say anything. I'll tell you more when I can.
Can't say anything besides, how's Adam? Which is her trademark expression. Do you think people just shout that at her in the street?
Without a doubt, people shout that at her.
All right, I want to talk about the last big story of the week in the entertainment world, which was Peter Capaldi stepping down as Doctor Who. So he's been a very controversial Doctor Who. A lot of fans, especially after Matt Smith, who was quite the heartthrob, Peter Capaldi came in and he was a bit of a curveball. So he's been quite controversial. It's been 4 years and he says the current upcoming series is going to be his last. And so obviously now, nobody's interested in the series. Everybody just wants to know who's next. And there's a lot of chat about whether it's going to be a woman. Because obviously Doctor Who, the Doctor, he regenerates. And he becomes somebody new. I've obviously been back on Wikipedia, my old friend. And so the 13th Doctor, a lot of people are saying it should be a woman. Peter Capaldi himself has said that he wants it to be a woman. What do you reckon? Female Doctor Who, the Doctor, the Time Lord. What do we think? Francesca, is it time for a female to take on that role?
This is the second time I've said this in the last 20 minutes, but hell yeah.
Oh.
No, absolutely. I feel like people want it now. There's an expectation for it. And I feel like if they don't, then I think it's going to be a bit of deflation. And it's just going to be, when you build something up so much like this, people are expecting it. So if they don't, I just feel like it's going to be a bit of a anticlimax.
Yeah, I completely agree. Like, all of the headlines this week since he announced he was quitting have been about whether it's going to be a woman, whether or not it's going to be somebody of a different ethnic background or something like that, a different stance on Doctor Who that we've never had before. And so if they just pick another white man out of the crowd, I think it is going to look like, was this all you've got?
The thing is, this, like you say, though, there's so many great women as well at the moment. So it wouldn't be kind of like a token sort of, all right, fine, it's about time we had a woman. Like, when you look at the shortlist, there's some amazing female actors who could take on the role. So just give it to one of them, really. And I think the show as well needs a bit of a spruce up. It's got a bit stale. People aren't as interested in it as they used to be. And I think making a move like this would get people back on board.
Well, what I was just going to say was, actually, on the back of that, ratings for Doctor Who are quite far down to where they were during, say, when Matt Smith or David Tennant was on board.
I've not seen it since David Tennant, if I'm honest.
I mean, I'm with you. I think the last one I watched had Kylie Minogue in it. Which I'm sure will come as a surprise to zero people. But so the thing is, if they were to bring in a female Doctor, we're not meant to say female Doctor
Thank
Who,
you.
Are we? All right, Time Lord in the corner, dressed as a Dalek.
Not the character name, it's the title of the show.
Not a literal physician. But if they were to bring in a female Time Lord, would anybody actually care, is the question.
In what sort of sense?
Well, did people still watch Doctor Who? Is it even worth doing as a stunt?
People do watch it, but I think more people would. Like, would you guys tune in? Like, I would tune in.
I absolutely would, because I think it would just be great to see a powerful woman in a primetime stop like that, travelling through time,
kicking ass,
slaying what they call Daleks zipping about. I don't really know what happens in Doctor Who, to be honest.
Who would be the, is it this, is they called the assistant?
The assistant, what, yeah.
What
would
happen
they
to that? Would they get another woman? Or
well,
would
that's
it be a man?
It. So they've just got a new assistant for the new series. And so if they kept her, because she's female as well, that would be great. It would be two women. It would be like Strictly.
It would.
Yeah. And look how well that worked.
And Bake Off.
No, it would be really good, I think.
I think having two women at the forefront of like a sci-fi drama, it would be something really, really fresh, really new. Who would you think would be the best person for the role? Because David Tennant has said Olivia Colman, who I think would probably do it quite well, but also she's a bit of a predictable choice.
Oh my God, I've forgotten her name. Victoria, who was in Doctor Who.
Yes, Jenna Coleman.
Yes. Jenna Coleman.
Yeah. I want her to, so she was the assistant, wasn't she?
She was the assistant.
So I would love, like, what a spin to then rejuvenate into
The other day were trying to come up with names on the desk, and she was the first person I thought of because she's young, she's fun, like, she's obviously a versatile actress as well. But then I remembered that, yeah, she's already been the assistant.
You kind of been in it, though, because not in such a central role, but Peter Capaldi was in it before he took the role. I think one of the other doctors was as well. So.
Can the assistant turn into the doctor? I don't know.
Time and space, isn't it? Do what they want.
Okay, well, that's good. Yeah. I'll text Stephen Hawking later and see what he says about the just doctor turning into the assistant. I'm sure he'll be in favour. All right. Around these parts, I do like to end on a quiz. And this week, there was a massive announcement from a lady that I like to call Beyoncé. Because that is her name. And she went on Instagram and just no fanfare, no lead up or anything like that. Just dropped this little picture of herself. Ludicrous picture, hyper colour, loads of veils, loads of madness going on, and told the world that she was expecting twins. So inspired by that, I'm going to do this week's quiz. Francesca, as you are our special guest...
No, don't make me go first.
I'm going to come to you first.
No, don't make me go first.
Mate, it's all good. Don't worry. I'll hold your hand throughout. All right, so first one. Anthony, Lee, Simon and Duncan are best known as which boy band?
Blue.
Yeah, see? Oh, did that easy, mate.
I'm winning.
Is this themed?
There might be a theme. It might be related to the news that we just discussed. Rachel, Gail Tilsley and Coronation Street had a long-standing row with her mother-in-law. What was her name?
Was she called Ivy?
She was called Ivy Tilsley, yeah. Francesca, in 1999, Eiffel 65 topped the UK singles chart with their one hit. What was its name?
Everyone's looking at me like it's really obvious. Is it something to do with Blue Ivy?
I mean, I'm not saying.
Is it like...
If I tell you that the song is named after a colour...
Blue!
That's correct. They topped the charts in 1999 with Blue Dabba Dee.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, you know the song. I had it on CD single. Nice. But we'll sweep over that little piece of news. Rachel, complete the name of the popular Batman villain. Poison Blank.
This is a really tough question.
I wish I had that one.
Is it Ivy?
The correct answer is Poison Ivy, yes. Famously portrayed by Nicole Kidman. What? A versatile actress. Is it not? Does John's just give me a little shake of the head? Is it not Nicole Kidman? Who was Nicole Kidman? Nicole Kidman was there, wasn't she?
Did you get this from Wikipedia?
No, I got it off the top of my own head. That's the worst. I blame Wikipedia for this. All right, we'll sweep past that one. Francesca, Cate Blanchett won an Oscar in 2014 for her performance in Blank Jasmine.
Is it Blue Jasmine?
It's indeed Blue Jasmine.
Ding, ding, ding.
I won't be offering any more facts about that because I'll probably just blunder it. Rachel, which popular London restaurant was heavily featured in Ricky Gervais's Extras?
A real fan of that film and his work. I think it was the Ivy.
That is correct. We're at a crossroads, everyone. So we're going to go to the tiebreak question. It's the first one to shout this out, and please let me get to the end of the question before we shout this out, because it's all to play for. A Mars bar. Star Wars A New Hope is episode what number in the series? And I'd like that in Roman numerals, if possible.
I know the answer. I'm not very good at numerals.
Think what it might be based on the questions we've just had.
I don't think it spells out Ivy, though.
Don't you?
No. I mean, is it?
Why don't you say it and find out?
I think the answer might be, although I don't really think it is, I-V-Y.
Oh, no, it's just I-V.
Oh.
And then
oh.
It would be Ivy.
Oh, yeah.
You messed up my quiz, Rachel. Francesca gets the Mars bar.
Isn't yeah, that? I don't think that's right.
I'm telling
because
you that
a
it
V
is.
Is a 10.
Is no, V is 5.
Oh.
That's why she's called Blue Ivy. It's because blue is the blueprint and IV is number 4.
You have completely lost me.
You so made that up.
No, I'm telling you, that's true. You know what? I'm not ending this podcast until I get this out there. Blue Ivy is blue. Jay-Z is the blueprint. And 4, Ivy, Blue Ivy, the blueprint. And 4, Beyoncé and Jay-Z's albums.
That now makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Stick with me. Jay-Z. I've got all the Beyoncé facts that I learned off Wikipedia. And on that note, I've got to get my veil and crop top ready because I've got some Instagram news of my own. So we'll be back next week. Laters!
Bye!